Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All Things Therapy with Lisa Tahir, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to All Things Therapy. I'm your host, Lisa Tahir. I'm an intuitive psychotherapist and licensed clinical social worker. You can find me online through my website, which is nolatherapy.com. It's the abbreviation for New Orleans, Los Angeles Therapy. From there, you're able to book sessions with me either in person at my New Orleans or Los Angeles office locations. You're able to book FaceTime, Skype, and phone sessions as well. So wherever you live, we're able to work together. There's a link to subscribe to this show on iTunes and Google Play, as well as able to listen to archived episodes. And if you want to support this show, you are welcome, and I gratefully appreciate it in advance through my crowdfunding campaign on Patreon.com. My guest today is in the studio with me. I am really pleased and honored to be with Joanne Lavin. She is a celebrity wardrobe stylist who got her start literally from birth, being born in Chicago, growing up in her parents' high-end clothing store, the Pompeian Shop. She went on to be self-taught through detours through Paris and Orange County and is in Los Angeles currently. This is just a small list of her clientele. They include Hilary Swank, Martha Stewart, Justin Timberlake, Justin Bieber, Jane Lynch, Drake, Snoop Dogg, who I just saw at Jazz Fest last year. It was fantastic. She works with networks and television shows, including MTV, CBS, NBC, Bravo, OWN, Crime Watch Daily, American Idol, and Access Hollywood, just to name a few. So today we're going to talk about actually the psychology behind her work and how, as women, we can reinvent ourselves as she did, even in her 40s, through her work and her passion for dog rescue. So I'm just delighted, Joanne, to have you in the studio. Welcome.
Hi, Lisa. I forgot that I did all of that.
It's amazing. You're amazing.
It's shocking to me.
I love that. Well, yeah. I want to start by proposing a toast.
Okay.
I really appreciate meeting you from our network of friends, and I'm inspired by what
you
do. You're welcome.
Thank you. This is a special occasion because I usually don't wine in the day.
I don't either. And for any clients listening, I don't see psychotherapy clients after drinking wine in the studio.
Maybe you'll lose half of your clients.
There's high potential for that.
Exactly.
So tell me where you'd like to start today.
Well, you know, I think that how you explained it was really perfect because, I mean, I have had a big career, and the thing is I really have been self-taught. I mean, I think that when you're growing up as a child and you work for your family and it's a high-end kind of boutique like I did, and your parents aren't really paying attention to you and you're feeling, I mean, I really grew up feeling very unhappy and I felt like I wasn't seen. Mm. So it was like a gift from God that I was able to leave Chicago in my late 30s and go to Paris to find out who I was. So self-taught is completely how my whole life has been, because when I was in Paris, I didn't even know how to take care of myself.
You know, hearing you say that and not knowing that you weren't seen, because now you are seen because of your career and the ways you help people feel comfortable in their bodies and in the clothes that they wear to express themselves. I thought of themes of you growing up with self-affirmation and wondered what it was like. I've listened to a few interviews mm-hmm. with you talking about going with your mom to Europe. And
right.
And just it was like a new, that wasn't really happening. So if you can kind of walk us through how you developed a sense of your personal independence.
Well, you know what? It's very interesting because I think when we went to Europe on buying trips, it was brand new and nobody even knew about going to Europe. So the first group of all these amazing boutiques and high-end stores went the way we did, not like it is today, very celebrity-based. And I think what happens is when you're raw and you're doing something and you travel to Europe and you're looking at things, you grow. I mean, I think every experience when you're leaving your environment and what you're safe, where you're safe, it really helps you. And as a child, seriously, I'm not kidding you. I grew up with panic attacks. I had no idea what they were.
I didn't know that.
Yes. I mean, I actually didn't discover that there was a name for it until many years later. Because when I was growing up, they thought I was just, I should be in a slow a learner's class. And so it's
contrary to the truth of who you are.
Well, you know what? I always say I'm successful in spite of my background, because I never gave up, and I never gave up on who I was, and I didn't even know then who I was.
You talked about that, and I'm going to flip through some notes as we're talking this afternoon, that when you've been, so I'm just going to intuit it, what I remember you saying in an interview is that when you were told no, it was even more fire for you to
totally.
Make it a yes.
Oh, my God.
Can you talk to us about that?
Well, I think that, you know, when you're growing up and you're with a family that has a business, they're not paying attention to you. So they're only looking at your negative things. If you're not if you're not going to, if you show up 10 minutes late to work, or if you're not straightening a rack like my mother was, she was very tough. And I think that what happened with me, there was two ways to go. Either you were an overachiever or you weren't. And in school, I really wasn't. I'm really street taught. There's something innate in my, and I feel it's really a gift, because I just have to do what somebody says I can't do. And my dad would say, how are you going to go to Europe? You can't rent an apartment. They don't rent to Americans. And I did.
Wow.
I went, I got off the plane. I went to the left bank. I found a hotel. Then I found a little beautiful studio on the left bank. And I just got it. That's just how I am, because I think it's for everybody. If you don't look at yourself and move forward, no matter where you are in your life, in your past, you'll stay stuck in your environment. And I think therapists and everything that is anything spiritual is a way for people to learn new things about themselves.
I agree. Is it true that when you went to Paris that you didn't tell the buyers of your family's business?
I did.
There was some piece. So can you tell us how that happened?
Lisa, I want you to know she has really studied the inner part of where I've been. When I went to Paris, my parents had a buying office there. But I just felt and I knew people there. I mean, I had been there for like 5 years, twice a year. I just felt I needed to find out who I was. And I took my Yorkie, and I was still...
You snuck your Yorkie on the plane.
I did. Well, that's a great story.
It's a great story.
Well, it was funny because I hid my dog, Simmy, and then I think I fell asleep for a couple minutes, and then all of a sudden I looked down, and my dog was gone. I think she went to do something some other place, so I'm walking...
In the airplane?
Yes, and I'm walking in the aisle, and then all of a sudden I see this high heel and legs, and I look up, it's the stewardess. And, like, then all of a sudden my little Yorkie just crawls out, and, like, obviously they couldn't do anything. I was already, like, 5 hours into the flight, but...
Was it okay? Did they...
Well, they love the Yorkie. You know, a girl with a Yorkie and scarves around your neck, you can go to any European country, because they love that look. And, you know, when they see a Yorkie, dogs are, like... the intro to everything.
So were you scared? How did you feel on that flight?
Oh, my God. I'll tell you. It was really, I mean, maybe at that moment I wasn't as scared as when I got off the plane. As I say, I keep on saying this. I feel it was a gift from God or another experience, because I was the least likely to leave Chicago.
Why is that?
My parents had one of the best stores.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like I was the most adventurer then. And it was like shocking that I would leave. So that being in Europe really opened my eyes to a lot of things. Because since I was dealing with panic attacks, I would be afraid to go out on the street. And I had to make myself do this. Because when you're dealing with that and you think you're going to faint, all I could think about is my dog would be lost.
Oh,
it would be like nothing else. But... You know, I found a therapist in Paris. It was the first time, and if you think about it, I was like 39, later in life. And I found some therapist. I don't even know. I took four metros, and she was British. And that started me just trying to figure out who I was.
Wow. You know, I had no idea we had such a similar life path.
Oh, really?
When we were just speaking a little bit ago in the waiting area, that at 43 is when I realized I need to get out of New Orleans. It was right. Almost a panic. And I came to Los Angeles and figured it out. And at moments, I would have panic attacks, not knowing where I am, right. Wondering why am I doing this. No one understood in New Orleans, and I didn't even really tell my family or friends. All right. Of a sudden, I'm here, and I have an office, and I put on Facebook keys to an office in Los Angeles, and people are like, wow. What the fuck are you doing? And I was like, I don't know, but I have to do this. Like you spoke about, for personal growth and to learn who I am. And now at 46, I feel like I'm just getting a handle on who I am and able to create the life that I want. And mm-hmm. It's so expanded. I'm sitting here with you. I have this show. I love it. Like, I feel like I'm finally living my passion.
No, I see. And you're actually dressed like me, so you're definitely a fashion girl.
Well, even when I walked in the studio for our listening, the studio manager was like, I've never seen you look like that. Because I usually come in workout clothes. But I'm with the fabulous Joanne Lavin, and she's stunning.
That's
so
sweet. No, but, you know, I think that, and I say this to everybody, because I deal with a lot of people that want to intern with me, and they're young.
Please talk about that.
And they're scared. Or I just talked to this fabulous girl who wants to change her life, and she had a similar background as myself. Like, my thing is, there is no age to change what you do. I don't care. Obviously, I'm not going to expose how young I am, but
sure.
I feel that you could do whatever you want. You just have to do it. And I think people, like, if you think too much and you think you can't do something, then it just makes it worse.
Well, from what I know about your story is that you decided to come back to the States from Paris and worked in Orange County.
Yes. Oh, that was funny.
And so can you talk to us about as far as your personal journey to be who you are today?
Oh, no, that's actually the best part or the funniest part, because when you work for your family, and my parents had a very high-end store, and people would call me all the time, can I show you my goods? Can I have a leather line. I have this. And I would say on the phone, oh, call me next week. Like, I didn't want to be...
Is it because they wanted you to buy?
Yeah, and okay. I didn't want to be bothered. It was like, you know, I was young, and it was like, okay, you know, call me next week. So when I moved to Orange County, I worked for one of my parents' friends who had a chain of stores, and it was like Newport Beach was a little bit too clean for me.
Okay.
I'm used to inner city Chicago, you know, streets of Chicago. So one day after a couple of maybe 8 months, I looked down and I was wearing sequined gym shoes. And I said, I had to get out of there. Like, I had to get to fucking L.A.
Yes.
And then,
so that's how you got here.
Oh, yeah. And then I got an apartment here. And
okay.
I didn't know what to do. I mean, I didn't want to. It would be hard for me to be in retail, since that was the life I lived. And unless I owned a store, it would be crazy to work for somebody.
Okay.
So I started getting jobs in wholesale areas.
Okay.
So now here I am. I'm repping a leather line, calling stores, and asking the same thing that they'd ask me. Can I see you for an appointment? Well, maybe next week.
No.
I thought, you know, that was really funny, and I got like, I needed to learn all of that, because sometimes we don't think on how we're reacting to people that really need something from you. So I think that made me a lot more sensitive, even to girls or people
empathic.
That
empathic.
It wanted me to learn something from me. So
you know, but my sense of you, Joanne, is that you are an empathic person. So
what is empathic?
Empathic is when you're able to feel for others, put yourself in their shoes.
Yes, it's a good and bad thing.
Right, depending on where you are
exactly.
In that spectrum. But I wonder if you were just, you know, younger and trying to find your own way, and that caused you to say, call me next week, as opposed to just being an asshole.
Well, no, I think in my life I've always been sensitive.
Yeah, I get that.
And on other areas, not necessarily how I would have dealt with the situation as far as talking to people that needed to sell me something.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave me a good insight on how to look at that they're doing what I was doing, looking for something, and I could at least be nice enough to see their goods or say something nice to them.
So you spoke in one of your interviews about living from your gut, and I wonder if making the move from Orange County to L.A. was like your gut just driving you here?
Well, you know what? Everything that's happened with me is my gut.
Will you talk to us about that?
I'm out of, like, in my life, like, my family, they're in Chicago. I mean, I've done everything alternative. My lifestyle is alternative. Mm-hmm. I'm gay. And
too.
Proud to be.
Me
thank
too.
You.
Yes, amen.
And actually,
cheers to that.
Hey, I'll drink to that.
Cheers to that.
And just remember, I don't drink in the afternoon. So anyhow, no, but I feel that that it was good for me to go through everything that I had, because it just has made me a better person and dealing with people in a better way and making me feel good about myself. And, you know, I'm happy. I also feel like I'm like my dad. My dad was a very charming, stunning, chic man, and everybody liked him. And actually, my mother wasn't that nice to him either. But that's just the way that kind of situation, owning a store, whatever. My mother was very powerful. But my dad used to walk into restaurants and everybody would say, "Hi, Jerry," like, you know, and this and that. And I feel like I'm him because,
yeah,
you know, it's really funny. I mean, people stop me all the time. They love my glasses. They love my hair, whatever. And my lesson today is just learning how to accept that.
Mm. To accept the compliments,
yes.
Or accept yourself?
To accept the compliments.
Got it.
And I think also, on the other note, mm-hmm. when you grow up with people telling you that you aren't doing the right thing, even when my parents came out to see me when I finally did my first show and I took them in to NBC, and my dad, till he was in his late 80s, would say this, and it was cute, but he would say, like, I would get this finally, we're so proud of you, we never thought you could do it. It was that
wow.
second part
yeah.
that was like, could you just stop it?
The first part.
Yeah, exactly. So I just feel that I'm living my life in the best way, and especially at my age, I feel like I have just another beginning. There's mm-hmm. no end to what I feel I can do or anybody else.
So a moment ago, speaking about the relationship, working with your family, which has come up a few times. So one of the kind of hidden gems in this show for me that as I was learning about you is this relationship to your parents and business. As a therapist, people come in talking about their family of origin and mm-hmm. the challenges. And then here you are working with them. And I've heard you speak a bit about your mom being, you know, really tough, expected a lot of you
yes.
from when you were young.
Yes.
So I wonder how it was growing up, working with your parents, and how that affected your relationship with them.
It really, you know, to be really honest,
yeah, you can be
it
honest.
Really wasn't, I wasn't a happy child. It's so a transformation through all the things that I've done, going to therapists, and I'm a huge spiritual.
Yes.
I'm a student of spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
And I think all of that has really made me who I am today, because I just feel when you grow up and your parents are in a negative state, you, unless you're really working at trying to be aware of yourself and going for help someplace,
yes.
you don't know that there's another way. I mean, and there was no reason. I mean, I didn't necessarily look like I should be sad. Everybody thought, you know, it was that high-end kind of living, and it never made a difference. Like, actually, my mother was more upset that I'd give gifts away than if I'd straighten a rack. She'd say, "Why are you always giving things away? Why are you doing that?"
Like, why would you?
That's who I am. I love to.
So you're generous.
Exactly.
That makes you happy.
Exactly.
So how did you cope with being unhappy in your childhood, yet having a work ethic and a lot of expectations?
That's a good question. I just managed. I did. You know, I had different kinds of friends. They weren't all just the right people that it looked like I should be around. I would go with friends to the west side of Chicago and go dancing with every African-American dude that I was friends with.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. I would, like, leave my house at, like, 11, 12 o'clock, and I'd be dancing all night.
How old were you?
I was, like, 20, 21.
That's awesome. Even, you're a free spirit.
Yes. I mean, I'm a free spirit in my own way, and, yes, I am, actually. There's nothing more to say.
So it sounds like you did what... So tell me, well, this is a question. I don't want to assume. Did you do what was expected, or did you really love working for
well,
your family?
Well, you know what? That's on the fence.
Okay.
I mean, I walked a fine line because my parents wanted... They only, my mother looked at what I did as far as, did I sell enough clothes? Did I... were the racks the most organized? And I was alternative, like I am today. It was like, can I work on a display? Can I? And I found this interesting because the people that came to my parents' store were very high-end kind of women, and then there were other women. And I would find that I wanted to take care of somebody that needed help. I wanted them to feel good about looking better. So anybody that was like a little bit more arrogant wasn't my style to want to take care of.
Yeah.
So,
you know, does that play a role? And I know I'm jumping kind of time frames, but it all connects. That even today, when you take on an apprentice or an intern, that you can kind of sense their drive and desire and
yes.
mentor based on that intuitive
yes,
sense?
Yes, totally. I mean,
somebody that really wants it.
Right. I mean, and, you know, I'm very clear, like, it's not like I'll have anybody intern. I have to see that they're passionate about what they're doing because I think that's the secret to success,
mm-hmm.
is that when you find something that you love to do, and I've never been money-driven to have that be first. So, you know, I'm happy and lucky that what I do is passionate.
Yes. And this is, I was planning this for the end, but I feel like this is perfect segue, is, and we're not near the end at all, but what's next for you? What is something that you want to do and haven't yet?
Wow.
If at all.
Yeah. Well, I think that there's a lot more as far as shows that I want to be a part of. I think there's, if I could learn how to say this word, this is what I want next. I want to be an influencer.
Okay, tell us about that.
That's somebody I want to be able to be on a position where I can wear things that people are interested in and let them know what it is and be a part of a bigger universe as far as having somebody learn about how to be more well-dressed or different parts of different styles or designers. I want to be that part, to be the teacher.
So, Joanne, this might be a news flash to you and part of accepting compliments.
What?
But you are an influencer.
But the thing is, I have a hard time saying it.
But do you? I don't know that you even have to because it's
thank
it's,
you.
Yeah,
thank
you're
you.
Welcome. It's within your innateness of who you
thank
are. You don't need to say it because it just precedes you.
You know, the thing is, I love it because I love that people get happy when they talk about my glasses, and that is a great subject because if anybody has seen me, they know I'm always wearing certain glasses.
Yes,
and then I'll get people saying, like, "Are you wearing Celine? Are you wearing Prada?" And I love to say, "No, I go downtown to LA in Santee Street, which is like Little Mexico. I find these eye sunglass stores, and I buy them for $5." And that is how my whole array of glasses are.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's another thing that I think is really great about knowing about fashion or style. I mean, you could buy good things because I think it's important, especially if you have the finances. But I feel that anybody could look as good as they can and go to Target.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's just that style is who you are.
I love that. And so one of the things that I was curious to talk to you about, because it came through in every interview that I listened to and watched, is that you have an innate ability to help people feel comfortable, and they are stripping down to their birthday suits, right?
Yeah, No, it's funny. I always say, hi, take off your clothes. I mean,
so seriously, yes. Like down to, like, do you furnish like undergarments?
No, but
and
you
such?
Know, it's, you know, because I... The kind of shows I do are quick. I mean, I meet somebody, I have a fitting, I get clothes for them to wear, and there's no time to caress a person.
Yeah.
Like I want them to either, like I sort of say, look on my website so you know who I am, like don't be scared. But I, what I find so interesting are men are a lot shyer than women.
In what regards?
When taking off their clothes for me to even try anything on them.
Really?
Oh, yes. I find a lot more men want to go into the bathroom, and I think that's funny.
Gosh.
Even if I tell them I'm gay, it
they
doesn't make...
Really?
No, it's like they're so shy. And the other note to sell is that men never are honest about what size they're wearing.
Do they make it smaller or larger?
Absolutely.
Smaller?
If some guy tells me he's a 30 waist,
that's tiny.
Or 32, yeah. I go up to a 34, or I get a range of sizes.
Interesting.
Because men are really shy, and they don't want to know how much they weigh at
all. So. More so than women?
Yes.
Okay.
Totally.
That's interesting.
But, yes, I find it interesting that, like, especially, and I don't talk about being gay that much, but, like, I always wonder if women are going to be uncomfortable.
Okay.
But it seems like nobody, it's been so welcoming. I mean, because everybody gets who I am. And
yeah.
I think it's just great that, like, they're excited. And what I love the most is that they can't get the concept that I'm going to be able to shop for them and have that thing, and usually when I go to a fitting, I have a rack of clothes, and like they have everything that they need.
Yes, that you'll bring. So if you can talk to our listeners, because this, I got a really powerful visual learning about your career, about showing up after a fitting with say like 8 bags of clothes.
That is correct.
And can you just describe to our listeners kind of a day in your life or a show in your life, just to paint us a picture?
Yes.
I imagine it's like high stress and like fast.
Well, you know what? I guess a lot of people in my field think it's stressful, but because I find it fun, I don't find it stressful. And if we had more than our time, I would tell you about all these great experiences, like when I did American Idol and I had to change how they wore.
No, Kelly Clarkson, like, and you had to use their clothes. We have plenty. We have like almost 30 minutes.
We do?
Yeah, we have a lot of time.
Oh.
Or like 25 minutes.
Okay, but so where were we?
About what it's like a day in your life or
no,
a show in your life.
You know, when I find out from, mostly I do TV shows, though I do private clients. And I find out what they're looking for, the kind of clothes they are, and I talk to the host, and I just start shopping, and I believe it's best in numbers. So I don't leave anything out, and this is probably good if any stylist who wants to be is listening. It's a great little idea of how to view shopping. I mean, if somebody says they're one size, I get different sizes. Because I can't,
like a size up and a size
yes,
down?
Yes, because I can't believe that everybody is that one size. So I believe that you get more than less. So I usually end up with a rack of clothes. And I just run around to different stores. There's different stores that have studio service, which are private offices that stylists could come up and memo things out. And I run around the city. I buy things. I take things out on memo. I get accessories. I get a full array of shoes. And the beauty of it is I should have probably taken pictures of everybody's face when they walk into a wardrobe room. Because
yes, because why?
It's so amazing because it even amazes me because everything is beautiful on the racks and then the shoes are laid out.
And it's all for them.
It's all for them. And even though they don't know that I only have like $2 to spend, they get to see everything, and I get to wean through everything and get the right amount to at least have producers and everybody be happy.
How long might that take? Walk in the room with them and try on everything?
Well, you know, it's so dependent on the personality of the person that I'm taking care of. It would probably take between an hour to 2 hours.
Okay, that's pretty quick.
Oh, yeah, it's easy. Once, because it's so laid out, it's not difficult to do it. And again, it all depends on how picky somebody is, but it's not more than 2 hours.
So can you talk to us about the psychology of how what we put on the outside can reflect our inner emotions and just letting ourselves shine, because I think this is really what we
God.
Do for a living.
You know what? That's a great question. Because
thank you.
You're welcome. You know, the thing is, and this is like the whole point about how to be a great stylist, is the biggest gift I have is about how people feel better about themselves. And it happens all the time. I mean, it's so rare. And it's not even that I'm saying it from an ego standpoint.
It doesn't sound like ego.
No, it's amazing because when so many people don't like to look at themselves, and they don't have a sense of clothes. Like, they can look in their wardrobe, mm-hmm. and they don't like how they look, or they think, like, what I help people do is get excited about how they look, and it makes you feel better. I don't care whether it's somebody that I'm putting on TV, or you're walking out the door to interview somebody, or be a therapist, or be anybody. I mean, I think when you feel good about how you look, you emote that energy.
You spoke about that, about emoting from the inside.
You know, and
how about when you dress yourself? What is it like?
It's 1, 2, 3.
What do you mean?
You know what I love the most? It is. Yeah. I don't think about it, and I think it really bothers everybody, because it's like I don't think about it till I get dressed. Like, there's no, like, oh, my God, what am I going to wear?
Okay.
It isn't that. And sometimes I think about it because I think it's really funny. I, like, go to my closet and start, like, oh, I think I feel like wearing these pants. And then all of a sudden it evolves. And I shouldn't tell my secret, but I think it's really funny.
Okay.
And, in fact, my one great friend, who is a stylist too, Dina Shoshone, and I hope that she sees, she listens.
She was early on in your career when you pulled a friend from Gucci. Was that your friend from Gucci?
Yeah, I took her out to do our first show. Yeah. Now she's one of the top stylists.
With Vicki Lawrence.
Yeah. She does America's Got Talent, but we used to have a joke. Like, I wear this tank top that I wear with everything. It's sort of like somebody puts on a watch.
Yeah.
And we both... I think she still does it, too. We both wear the same tank top. It's from Target.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, like, the base of what I wear is very simple. It's what I put on after I put on the base. Like, if it's a jacket or if it's a piece of jewelry. And even though somebody thinks I look different every day, I mean, I'm basically doing the same thing, but just changing up the outer part of it.
That makes sense.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, there's, like, core pieces.
Right. I mean, I do have quite a closet because I'm shopping, but my closet doesn't mean that I have the most expensive things. I have jeans from Zara. I could shop at Forever 21, and I could have a Prada boot. I think that it's, again, and I will always repeat this, it's how you put it together and how you feel about yourself that brings out the style of what you have. You put on a scarf, like Lisa, which you can't see today, looks like perfect.
Thank you.
I mean, she's dressed casually, but like stunning. And
thank you.
In fact, she's wearing a scarf, and I didn't today. So
because usually it's cold in here. So thank you. I appreciate, and I feel comfortable.
No, but I think that and if somebody doesn't think this, they should rethink it. I think you feel better when you feel that you look good.
Yes.
And I think that that's part of getting to know who you are and owning your style. And I think that is the lesson that I've had to learn. Because today, I mean, people ask me all the time, you know, what are you wearing? Or they talk about my hair and everything. And
your hair is gorgeous.
You know, I have had guys in truck saying, hey, I love your hair. And I like,
believe it.
No, but I find it so much fun.
Yeah.
I make it fun. I think, like, okay, I often think I should just have a tape of my day. So that I would, like, put it into a movie. It would be so much...
What would it look like?
It would be every day. Oh, my God. I love your hair. I love your glasses. And I'm not coming from an ego thing. Because in a way, I think it's funny. Because it's... You know, when I was growing up, my mother used to think I was a little weird about how I dressed. I wasn't necessarily... I was fashion, but in a different way. Like, I would be wearing these heavy kind of shoes that were... in style, but not her style. She would look at me and say, what are you wearing? Or so I really have evolved my own style just because I've been relaxed to be who I am,
mm-hmm.
if that makes any sense.
Yeah, that you have comfort within your own skin. You're comfortable in your own skin, and that's what you help others feel through your work, is comfortable. Because I also heard something you said that really resonated with me, that when you're am I paraphrase, when you're styling someone that you want them to feel comfortable. It might have been on that that interview in the van in New York.
Oh, that was funny.
With Crime Watch Daily.
Is my weekly show.
Yes, and someone from that show, I think, even said that you dress them in a way that they actually feel comfortable in the show, that you tune in to how they can look amazing but also feel comfortable, which I think is important.
Yes.
Because if you're wearing something you're not comfortable in, that comes through energetically.
Absolutely, and especially that show, which is a great show, and I love doing it. It's called Crime Watch Daily with Chris Hansen, and it's syndicated. And I have to, this is an alternative way that I work shows, because I have to send boxes of clothes to everybody, and Chris Hansen in New York, and I had to really get who they were and what they did, and how they work is they run around chasing people that have killed people or dangerous situations or crazy people. I mean, it's like a Dateline on steroids.
It is.
On a daily show. And, if they're going out in the field, I have to make sure that they have something that's casual, that looks good, that isn't flashy, because there's nothing flashy about the show. It's it's deep and serious. So, that's a great example, because I love, and they all know it, but if they ever listen to this, I love when they text me, I can't even believe it. The whole box worked.
Said that on the interview.
I know, it was so weird.
On YouTube, if y'all want to catch, put Joanne Lavin in YouTube. Listeners know, Joanne Lavin, JoanneLavin.com is your website. And put Joanne Lavin in YouTube, and this amazing, several interviews come up talking about your work with Crime Watch Daily, and they love what you send them. They were just raving.
No, but that's really one of my favorite things, and I love doing that show, is that I could send things and they're happy. And again, I think for every show or every person that I dress, even when somebody will ask me as a personal client to take them shopping, if their budget is $800 or $1,000, and I take them to stores like H&M or whatever, it doesn't. And I love to see how they light up, because usually what they'll say is, I couldn't even picture myself in this. I mean, that is the main comment that I get. I didn't even see I could wear this. And that's like anything else. When you're doing what you love and you're sharing your story, whether it's a therapist or a stylist or whatever, an engineer, I don't care what you are, how you project yourself and how much you like what you do, it just, other people take it and it helps them.
So going back to the piece around your family and your parents that heavily influenced, it sounds like, you and your early experiences, are they proud of you? Can they even believe? I don't know if they're still with you.
No, they're dead.
Okay.
No, they're not dead. They're flying around. I'm sure.
But do you feel them? Do you feel them sometime with you and?
Well, I do know, and once they turned 80 and they got older, they definitely got a lot more sensitive, and I definitely got a lot more compliments.
Good.
And I think that they really, because they didn't have to look at a store or do anything, my mother got who I was, and I think that my mother always thought I was really passionate and loving, and it's just that her background was a certain way, and when, it's a century of your family background. I mean, you only can show what you know. And these people,
Right, that's well said.
But that was really, I like that way I said that. You can only show what you know.
It's true.
And so I felt much better as they got older. And I'm sure that today they have to. But not even only because of that, because of my passion about my animals.
I was just going to ask you that next. Oh my gosh, we're so in sync.
Because I'm a psychic stylist.
Yeah, I believe, I so believe that. And I'm a psychic and intuitive therapist.
Yeah.
So,
hey.
No, it's true. So I wanted to ask you about your personal passion and one of the ways you give back through animal rescue and fostering.
I really don't foster. Whoever I foster, I keep. So right at the moment, I have two dogs. But I will go back to
please,
which you'll find interesting as a therapist.
I find this all interesting.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
When I was working at my parents' store, I had a friend that had a Yorkie that he gave to his mother, and he called me up and he said, like, my mother is, she can't handle it. Do you want a dog? And I went, like, are you kidding? And this is like that period where you don't feel loved and you don't even think you can be responsible. Mm-hmm. And even though I lived alone, it was still, I was probably in my early 20s. So I said, okay, bring the dog over. And so I ended up keeping this, my heart of dogs, Simmy, who was a Yorkie. And this is
that who you brought over to Paris?
Yes.
Said, yeah.
But what I want to say about my animals is they taught me how to love. Mm. They taught me unconditional love.
Yes.
And that really was the best part of even my life, is being able to get to that experience. And animals, I've had the weirdest kind of animals. I have animals that I've rescued with my friend Maria Walker in Mexico, and they looked Mexican. I've had German Shepherd mix. He looked like a coyote, and that was funny.
I believe it.
This is the first time I have two dogs. One's a Maltipoo, Buddy, and Sugar, and they're white. I have designer
dogs. Beautiful.
And they're rescues, and we all look alike. I think it's really funny.
You all do. I really want to highlight what you said a moment ago about your pets and animals teaching you about unconditional love.
Absolutely.
And even when you were younger and animals just,
oh my God,
helping you,
yes,
like stay present, stay here, stay.
That was the gift of everything, because I was so afraid to take care of that dog and have responsibility, and even taking Simmy to Europe. I mean, I had to figure out how to feed her in a healthy way and dealing with panic attacks and all of that. It taught me how to be strong.
Yes.
Really.
And so I think you know, but I fly between New Orleans and Los Angeles with my two kitty cats.
Oh, no. Wait, you take your cats?
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, my God.
I carry around 40
that.
Pounds of cats through the airport. They've done 17 round trips.
Wait, are they under your seat?
Or they're under my seat and the person next to me.
Wait, what if they're not a cat person?
Well, you know, the universe kind of finds that out for me.
Wait,
because
that is so funny.
So I have an emotional support letter, because truly they are my ESA animals. I can't live without my two cats.
My one dog is, too.
I believe
emotional
you.
Support.
Jiggy is my 15-pound tuxedo.
Oh,
and
my God.
And then Baby.
Wait, come on.
He's a big honker. He's probably bigger than your little doggies.
Wait, my dogs are, the most there is 15. And that's Sugar, who's a little bit too chunky. So, I mean, you take them with you?
Jiggy's on one shoulder and a carrier. And then little Baby, my calico, who's about 8 pounds.
Uh-huh.
She's the newest little babe that I have, and it took them a year to love each other, but they're best of friends now. So she's on the other shoulder in a carrier, and I get on the plane first. I have priority boarding, and I get situated with one cat, Jiggy, in front of me, because he's in the biggest carrier imaginable, and then little Baby goes in the seat, the middle seat, that person's seat. So if someone wants to sit, because I'm usually in the fourth row, I say, oh, if you don't mind cats. And the people that don't mind cats are like, ah! Like, kind of run
so
down the aisle. And inevitably, the flight's full, and the last passenger boarding ends up loving cats. This happened 17 times so far.
Oh, my God.
And they
pet
her.
Lisa, I love that story.
So I bring them back and forth between L.A. and New Orleans. They're like, when you speak of unconditional love,
oh,
these animals have taught me about unconditional love.
Right, seriously.
That I can extend to people and myself.
I really mean that. I don't say that lightly, because I think that is one of the main reasons that I know how to think about that, because I had to think about this dog, and I had to take care of her. And, I mean, I also have, like, great dog stories, because when I was going on planes, I'd sneak her on, because you couldn't just do what you do today.
Like, right.
And once I had a pilot that wouldn't take off.
Why not?
Because they wanted me to put this, like, 8-pound dog in the back.
Uh-uh.
And this is before with the letters and everything that we do today. But, I said to the stewardess, can I talk to this pilot? And I took my dog, Simmy, and I went to the pilot. And I said, look. Like, are you serious? You want to put this dog in the back with cargo? And so they looked at me and they said, well, okay, well, the dog can be with this stewardess.
Joanne, that's amazing. That's a pioneering, innovative moment.
No, but
moment.
That was, and so wow. So the stewardess was right at the back where I was. Well, they fell in love with somebody, and they kept on giving her food, so she was happy. She couldn't care less about being with me, but no.
I love that.
And then I had one, when I went on a plane, and they were so pissed off, we had already flown. They were waiting for me off the plane to reprimand me for taking the dog and hiding on the plane.
Because they fell in love.
And then when I came back from Paris, I had to take a flight from Brussels.
Okay.
And this is where I had no money. I was coming back. I used everything I had. I didn't even know even how I was going to think about making money because, again, when you work for your family and they tell you you can't make any more than a certain amount, you feel that you're not worth it.
Yes.
So that was another challenge and an amazing growth I've had. But I had to sneak Simmy on this plane in Brazil, and my carry-on was too heavy. Like, I was throwing things away to get my dog
No way.
Because I had to get her on the plane.
Yes.
I mean, and so nobody knew that I had to get her on where she wasn't seen until I was flying.
You're such a pioneer, and seriously, this is...
I'm a rebel. I said this on...
A rebel with no cause.
Yeah, that should be my line. I'm a rebel with no cause.
I think you have cause. Yeah. You want people to feel beautiful in their own skin and in what they're wearing so they can express themselves fully.
That's exactly. You put that perfectly. I'm going to have to take that and put that on my website.
Take it. And your passion for animals. You've spoken about Cause for a Paws. And is it Luck Dog or Lucky Dog?
Well, Lucky Dog. Cause for Paws was a special I did Thanksgiving with this amazing producer, Michael Levitt, who rescues pit bulls.
Oh, wow.
And this was one of a couple of different Thanksgivings that he had a telethon where he was bringing dogs on Thanksgiving night, and you could adopt from just watching it. And they had dogs that had three legs that were blind. It was and Lucky Dog is a show that airs every Saturday on CBS at 9 o'clock.
Okay.
And Brandon McMillan is a dog that is a person that takes dogs from kill shelters and finds a particular dog and then finds a family, and you see how he works with the people to learn how to take care of the dog and works with dogs that, I mean, I think that, I mean, if everybody would tune in to how it is for all of these animals, cats, dogs, whatever, they're so abused. And when you adopt or you take dogs, like all of my dogs, each one of them has had some situation.
Yes.
I mean, I have my dog Buddy. He is the cutest thing. You can't put your hand over his head. Oh. He won't look at you in the eyes. He just very rarely, and he doesn't kiss. Mm-hmm. I mean, and if you think about how he was brought up, I mean, everybody just needs to be aware, and I think that's exactly what I try to do. If I could help somebody who is trying to rescue a dog, or my friend who has May Day, Natalie, and she is getting dogs out of these shelters, I mean kill shelters, and getting them all the medical work they can have and giving them hope to have homes. I mean,
I think it's so important.
Totally.
My cats are rescues. And
are they?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Jiggy was found in the streets of New Orleans, and he was feral, and I fed him for a year on my porch.
Wait, he's feral, and got him in your house?
Yes, and now sleeps in my bed and like curls up with me like a baby.
Oh my! Now that's amazing.
It's amazing. And then little baby, my sister is a mobile vet in New Orleans, Fleur de Lis mobile vet.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah,
perfect for you. I mean,
it's great. Yeah, instead of Fleur de Lis. Uh-huh. But she's also with the SPCA just to help being of service one day a week. And they found this little calico in a dumpster and nursed her to health with a bottle. And that's my little baby calico. She's a miracle.
Amazing.
So I believe you. What you're saying, like, these animals need our love and support. Just like people,
absolutely.
Just like everything.
I mean, it's just a great cause. But, I mean, I think anybody that has any cause is terrific. Because, I mean, I think that in life, you have to give something back.
I agree.
I don't care what it is. It doesn't have to be to animals, but it has to be to something. I mean, you can't take it all in without, like even, I mean, this is not the best example, but even when I buy clothes, I always take clothes out of my closet and I put them in a bag and they go to...
That's awesome.
They go to homeless shelters or wherever. I have friends that deal with people that live on the streets, because you have to give it. You have to give. You can't just take.
I think that's beautiful about you, and just your whole effervescence is about that. Like, for real, you just have a presence that's really beautiful and powerful.
Thanks.
And gentle.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I feel like I'm in a session right now.
Do you? I feel like I'm in a session. I feel like you're seeing right through me as well.
It's
good. It's good. So we have... Oh my gosh, we have like 30 seconds. What would you, I want listeners to know how they can find you. So Joanne Lavin.
Yeah, it's JoanneLavin.com. Or on my Instagram, it's JPLStyle. And that would be a great way. You'll see what I'm doing, what I'm wearing, where I'm going. It's fun.
Thank you for being my guest today.
Lisa, thank you so much. You are amazing.
Thank you.
You are definitely a force of nature.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's my intention. I love you, Joanne.
I love you, too.
Okay.
You're listening to All Things Therapy with Lisa Tahir.